We're very honored to have Charlotte McLean and Schlappo to give us some closing remarks. Earlier in the day, I mentioned some of the joys and pleasures of working on this project with Jody and the folks at IHSP. And one of the other joys of being involved in conferences and collaborations is that every now and then you get to introduce one of your friends, and despite their genuine modesty, you get to say all kinds of nice things about them because you're the chair with the microphone. And this is one of them. So we're very honored to have Charlotte McLean and Schlappo. Charlotte has a wonderful world experience from a number of different angles relating to disability rights and inclusion. She has been at various times a commissioner on the South African Human Rights Commission, and during that time worked on numerous national level initiatives, helped to facilitate the first case relating to disability law in the country, and represented all the national institutions, all the human rights commissions at the United Nations as part of the negotiations for the CRPD, and she did so with great eloquence and great conviction. Charlotte has also been an operations person at the World Bank, and she is currently the disability point person, for lack of the technical term, at USAID, Agency for International Development. And so she has worked on disability human rights, including employment, from various perspectives as an advocate, as a human rights commissioner, as a development person, as a policy person, as someone who often works in the field. But that really doesn't give you the sense for who she is and what she does. Charlotte travels around the world, literally circling the globe several times every year, tirelessly working on behalf of people with disabilities, generously sharing her time. I know of many instances where those extra free moments and weekends and nights are filled because she gets a request from a developing country or a DPO in a developing country, and she has the unique knowledge, and she shares that knowledge. And so she's been just marvelous in her work, marvelous as a person. I know, Charlotte, you probably realize it, but there's never too many times to tell you that around the world you are very loved and very appreciated. So thank you so much for the work that you do. I'm looking forward to hearing and learning from you now, because I hear and learn from you all the time, and it's always a great pleasure. So ladies and gentlemen, we have Charlotte McLean and Schlappo.
Well, thank you, Michael. That was super generous, really. I really also wanted to thank the organizers, to thank Jody, to thank Michael, to thank Jennifer for what's been really an excellent, well-planned, and I think a very stimulating conference. And I, of course, have the honor, as well as a very unenviable task, to kind of think, you know, what are the key issues, or what are the key things that I'd like you to go away with. As you can imagine, my thoughts have been provoked by multiple interventions over the day and a half. And I think that this is important because it means we're learning. I'm learning. I'm excited. And this is always, for me, the test of a good conference, when I leave feeling that I, too, have gained a lot of knowledge. So what I'd like to do with you is to share some of my thoughts around and, you know, some evolving ways forward premised on three concepts. And the three concepts that I'd like to think about and talk about are human rights, empowerment, and equity. And of course, these concepts have been woven into the discussion over the day, and many of you are experts in these various issues. But what I'd like to emphasize is some of the key issues going forward and share some possible steps that might facilitate the meaningful realization of work employment rights contained in the CRPD. But before I do that, I think it's worth spending a minute thinking about the world scale of joblessness. The quest for employment and jobs worldwide, let's face it, is pretty grim. The Economist writes that if 44 million people who were unemployed in mainly rich members of the OECD lived in one country, it would be the population of Spain. In Spain itself, which is the West's highest jobless rate with 21%, the number of people without work matches the combined populations of Madrid and Barcelona. I also just want to put forward that outside the rich world, we might want to recall that the Arab Spring was in part triggered by the lack of decent work for young people in Tunisia and Egypt. And so for me, what this represents is how, what the context is that we're working in and how important and how essential work is for people with disabilities and for people without disabilities. That said, I return to my three pillars that I think are necessary for the employment of persons with disabilities and certainly needed for development. And let me begin with my first pillar, or the first pillar, human rights. I think we have an unprecedented opportunity to use the human rights framework, and particularly, not exclusively, but particularly the CRPD, to garner support and influence implementation in the area of employment for persons with disabilities. The entry into force of the CRPD has catapulted disability rights into the larger human rights discourse. And again, I think this is a perfect opportunity for us to really use the CRPD as a tool for influence, for a tool to get people to understand that disability rights are part of human rights. I think another thing the CRPD has done is that it's given legal legitimacy for why we should include 15% of the world's population into policies, programming, and practice. Now, I don't need to convince you guys in this room, but there's a lot of people out there that still need to be convinced. In addition to the legitimacy that the CRPD has provided, it has also put forward an accountability framework that was previously lacking, and that, quite frankly, doesn't exist in many other conventions. So, I mean, Article 27, I think, is a really important article. I won't read the article, but just to say that in addition to it being a strong article, it's also a very holistic article. So let's remember that always. So with 130 ratifications, and the most recent one being that of Russia, what does this really mean in practice? And so what I did was to do a quick review of the concluding observations of the committee's work of the CRPD. And granted, there are not that many concluding observations, but still, I thought it was instructive. And I just want to share what were some of the recurring themes or concerns that the committee put forward in relation to work and employment. The first one, these will not be surprising to you. The first one was that the low level of inclusion with people with disabilities in the private sector remains. The second one was that low implementation of measures for affirmative action provided in the law for women with disabilities remains an issue. The third one was around low levels of diversity of employment and vocational training opportunities for persons with disabilities. The fourth one was the lack of participation of persons with disabilities and their representative organizations in employment bargaining platforms. And the fifth one was that despite a number of enabling provisions to keep persons with disabilities in employment, the overall situation was that there were still very low rates of persons with disabilities in employment. So you have a disconnect between the policies and what's happening in practice. It was not surprising that one of these countries was indeed Spain. I'm not picking on Spain, but this is what happened. So just a few words about empowerment. And, you know, a lot has been said about empowerment today, so I won't belabor the point. Safe to say that the focus on skilling up persons with disabilities and employers to make inclusion part of their business must be at the core of what we're doing. In terms of equity, a quick word. Advocating for ensuring that Article 27 is implemented And here I think the voice and the influence of persons with disabilities is absolutely essential. And in relation to equity, I would really like to stress the importance of looking at targeted expenditure for these types of programs, for this type of implementation of Article 27. I have to say that I do remain bedeviled by how developing jobs quickly continues to remain a development conundrum. And for people with disabilities, these jobs are often never, ever created. In situations where they are created, and there was some discussion earlier on around public work jobs, the interesting thing is that these jobs often, by nature, exclude persons with disabilities. So, for instance, in South Africa, you have public works jobs that have been set up to provide quick jobs for people, for vulnerable communities, but they're often very menial, they're very labor intensive, and so persons with physical disabilities would not be able to engage in that type of employment. For people with disabilities in the developing world, creating jobs and employment is in fact their own business. And in the rich world, we've heard that the benefit trap for persons with disabilities remains real. We also heard that looking at reforming benefit systems is also something that remains unresolved in terms of policy. So there are two sides to that. I think easing the road ahead, there are ways in which governments can provide a roadmap, given their duty entrenched in the CRPD, to create work on an equal basis with others. I'm going to share some suggestions, but I'm also going to say that obviously it's not an exclusive list. I think creating an enabling policy environment is certainly one. Putting aside budgets is critical in my view. Training, better collection of disability disaggregated data, enforcing legislation, and actively employing persons with disabilities themselves. But it's also plain that there's a mess on the demand side. And I really want to stress this point because this should not be attributed to persons with disabilities or to their organizations. The cracks and the crevices that Javed spoke about on day one, in my view, are now beginning to show a result. So I think we need to look at having a shift in creating the demand side. And I think that any job agenda has to factor in the deficits in education for persons with disabilities, often created by the systems that are in place. So perhaps looking more at training to equip people with disabilities for tomorrow's jobs and to get employers involved. Now, in thinking about some next steps ahead and how we begin to operationalize the amazing amount of knowledge shared over the day and a half, which has been just amazing, I would like to explore the idea of thinking about a global compact, a global platform for employment and work for persons with disabilities. Why a compact or platform? And, you know, I'm going to use those words interchangeably. Well, there are a number of reasons. I think that a compact, and it could start off as an informal one, would provide the platform which would allow for new alliances, partnerships to be built. I think that a platform like this could be a space where we could share what works, but very importantly, what doesn't work. I mean, I would see this compact as being framed by the CRPD, and obviously it could take on some of the concepts that I thought about: human rights, empowerment, and equity. And such a compact would allow for stakeholders to think through what their roles are, to think about responsibilities. So the empowerment piece of the compact might be of interest to donors and country governments, while the equity piece might be a key issue of interest for disabled people's organizations, for human rights organizations, for policymakers, for lawyers, and for academics. It could be a platform where candid dialogue on employment writ large could be discussed. We could share research, good practices, look at model legislation, and look at good indicators and how we can better collect disaggregated data. And I'm not suggesting that this is not happening. I mean, I know this is happening in different spaces. What I'm suggesting is a global one. Because what happens in my work is people come up and say, I'm working on a project in Malawi. Can you give me information on what we can do? And I find it very difficult because there isn't a go-to place where all of that type of information exists. So I think in order for such a compact or partnership to succeed, it would really have to embrace all the stakeholders, and it would have to step outside of just people who work on disability issues and employment, but really reach out to those that don't. Because ultimately, the best safety net is a job, not handouts, not welfare, and certainly not pity, but decent work, respect, and enlarging the possibilities for a better life. Thank you.